More than anything, I mean, this is one of the all-time greatest players in Golden State Warrior history who needs to be celebrated and will be celebrated with unanimous applause.
No doubt. He's going to get so much love today from the crowd. Again, all fans attending the game will get a Captain Klay hat. And at some point, he's going to get his video tribute. Steph will step out, speak mid-court, and then everybody in attendance will take off their Captain Klay hats, and it's salute Klay Thompson in his direction to say, hey, thank you, man. Thank you for a storied career. And I've been trying to think about this. Raymond Ritter hit me up about this, and I've been thinking about it long and hard. I can't recall a Bay Area legend who's come back in his, during his playing career and come back to this region. Like, I'm having a hard time. T.O. didn't come back here, right? I don't think T.O. ever played in San Francisco. I don't think he ever played in Candlestick Park.
I don't remember that. Jeff Kent is really the only one that I could think of. But to me, the degrees of beloved on Jeff Kent, I mean, if Dwight Clark and Joe Montana and Klay Thompson are up in the penthouse, like, Jeff Kent is in the middle of that hotel, right?
Yeah,
you know what
no
I mean?
Doubt.
He was never the beloved player that Klay was. And I think the way that he left
had a lot to do with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And then the injury and lying about the injury. I'm talking about Jeff Kent's injury and lying about it. I think there was a lot of bitterness and sourness on all parties. And I think it's taken almost 15 to 20 years for Giants fans to really come around and go full circle on him.
No doubt. Juan Uribe came back, but he's not on the same level as a Klay Thompson, Dwight Clark, Jeff Kent. Not even close.
No.
And he got a standing ovation for coming back after helping win the 2010 championship for the San Francisco Giants. But after that, he got booed left and right. I wonder what it was for Reggie Jackson. Honestly, in the 70s, I would love to hear from an OG Bay Area fan, 888-957-9570, because Reggie Jackson moved on to the New York Yankees. I wonder how that played out.
How about Madison Bumgarner when he came back? It was during COVID.
Yeah.
So it really made it awkward. You didn't have, I believe it was only a fraction of fans.
It was very strange.
It just was
so
Bum
was going to get his love. He was going to get his love because I think so many fans were like, screw Farhan. He's the guy. Screw Farhan. Like, he made this happen. But it's a good one there. I can't think of many. I can't think of many guys who's had to come back to the Niners went to Kansas City and they took on Joe Montana at Arrowhead Stadium.
I believe the one game for Jerry Rice was at
the Coliseum when the Niners won in overtime.
Yeah, that's off the top of my head.
Right.
0-2 or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was at the Coliseum. The Niners won that game in overtime with Jeff Garcia, Terrell Owens, Steve Mariucci and company beating John Gruden. But I just, this one's going to be different. This was going to be different because of everything that Klay went through as a player, who he became, the All-NBA player that he became. I don't remember Tim Hardaway's comeback.
Not really. Not really. I remember Brian Wilson when Brian Wilson came back, and he was injured, I believe, at the time, and screaming and yelling at Larry Bear, who was in the front row.
Yeah, he lacked class.
Well, I just think the whole thing was odd. I mean, look, in a similar vein, I did feel like Brian Wilson gave his right arm to the organization in the same way that I look at Klay Thompson. You mean the guy gave his legs to the Golden State Warriors and their fans. And so there's a level of sacrifice that I think that when I view those individuals through that lens, Navarro Bowman, same thing. Like, you gave your body for the sport, for the team, for, you know, for everyone. And so my appreciation only notches up. But there was a bitterness from Brian Wilson. I felt that he felt he wasn't appreciated by ownership, not the fans, ownership in particular, and the way it went down.
This is a good one. Monte Ellis. Not bad. Monte was beloved, not even close to the same level as Klay Thompson.
He was pretty beloved at that time.
But he was beloved, though.
Klay usurped him.
Yeah, but
is good.
You know, that's a good one. Willie Mays with the Mets.
I don't remember Mully's return.
Right. Mully, he discussed it.
Yeah, what did he say?
Coming back, he just said, you know, and this is where we're going to get into the Klay sound, where he goes, Mully, I asked him on air. And he was just like, you know, you don't think much about it. You think it's another game. Mm-hmm. And then you start to descend in the San Francisco Bay Area. You start to see the Bay Bridge. You see Koi Tower. You see the Golden Gate Bridge. You see the buildings. And you're like, oh, snap. I'm back home. This is where I grew up. This is where I became a man. This is where I matured. This is where I raised my kids. And now Klay doesn't have kids, but he's gonna fly back in here. And when he flew back in last night or yesterday coming in, And he's looking at the Bay Area thinking, damn, I don't play ball here no more. I'm going into the visiting locker room. I'm going in a different entrance. This is strange.
And this is where he went from, you know, a young, or I guess, you know, a boy to a man, right? In the words of San Quentin. But it's the truth. I mean, think about any person that you know. Think about yourself, Bonte. From the day you were 21 to the time you were 33.
Yeah.
How dramatically different were you as a human being?
Very different.
Right? And so now, you know, inject sports fame, sports money, you know, reaching the pinnacle of your industry four times over, having a devastating injury. Like, I can't imagine it. I think there's been a lot about people, oh, well, he said this at a podium wearing a Dallas Mavericks, you know, pullover. I would be guarded if I was Klay Thompson. I would be guarded of my emotions, and I would be not flippant, but I would probably be tamping it down as well. Because I think about all the times where I have, you know, I have to approach something head on, and I know it's going to be difficult, and I know that it's going to be packed with emotion on my end. I myself guard and try not to give anyone any ammunition to make the situation more heated than it needs to be, to make it have more on it. Like, there's already going to be all the icing. I don't need to add the birthday candles well to the cake.
Klay hasn't said much. You know, he has been guarded, and I think Jordan Poole, he's been guarded when it comes to his Warriors tenure and everything. And you still see the love. You still see the love. By the way, some breaking news. The Chicago Bears just fired their offensive coordinator, Shea Waldron. Oh. So you knew that was coming. Who's going to call plays there? Eberflus is going to be gone there. Somebody's going to get a damn good job in Chicago. They've got 23 straight possessions without scoring a touchdown. It's pretty bad.
That's 2005 Niners.
It's pretty bad. 277 yards per game ranks as third worst in the NFL. Wow, I thought they were turning the corner. Anyway.
Who's worst?
I mean, that's bad.
If they're third worst, who's worst?
It's got to be New England. It's got to be.
Just win, baby.
I mean, Drake May, baby.
Raiders.
Oh,
who
Raiders.
Else?
Yeah, I forgot about
what
that.
What a nasty game. That
New York
was.
Giants.
T3. Yeah, Daniel Jones got to be up there.
Jags, maybe.
Yeah,
they're bad. Mac Jones wasn't good. So I'm reading here, Skills of Vallejo. Our boy Skills of Vallejo, Comcast Business X Line. Not sure if Reggie played Oakland as an Oriole. He hit out the first spot. I forgot he was in Baltimore before the Yankees. But in his book, he said the Oakland fans booed the hell out of him as a Yankee, as in all the other Jealous Road fans, and his skills in Vallejo. Yeah, it's going to be strange. And look, a lot of Warrior fans, I see it already with him speaking out Sunday after the Denver Nuggets game. They lost that game 122-120. And Klay said, man, I'll let Klay take it. And I think a lot of people took this the wrong way. Here's Klay Thompson on the return to Klay Chase Center. Excuse me.
It'd be good to see people that you grinded with, obviously. But to me, it's just another regular season game in November. Obviously, there's bigger implications with the NBA Cup. So that's what's on our mind, is just to win that, because I haven't been a part of it yet. I know it's young, but it'd be fun to play for that title.
All right, Klay Thompson, now compartmentalizing his feelings.
Do you think it'll be difficult to kind of compartmentalize just everything that you're probably gonna feel going into that arena and actually playing in the game?
No, I don't think so. I've been doing this a long time, and basketball is basketball.
Were you surprised that they're giving out the captain's hats?
I guess it's a good thing for the fans, so kudos to them.
So a lot of fans are salty with that answer there, as Klay Thompson is trying to check. What he's trying to do is check his emotions.
Exactly.
We know how sensitive Klay Thompson could be. He listens to the feds. He hears things. He reads things, probably too much. And it really got to his dome over the last couple of years, realizing that he's never going to be the player that he was in 2019 when he was probably entering his prime as one of the best two-way players in all of basketball. That was taken away from him off a dunk attempt in the NBA Finals trying to win a championship by Danny Green. And he's never been able to be the same. There's no doubt he's not the same defender. No doubt. But he's also trying to compartmentalize his emotions, and he knows once he gets out there on the floor and after today, I'm willing to bet a small wager that Klay would say, yeah, it wasn't just any other game.
Well, of course, but I also believe that, like, he's got a tightrope to walk, and I think people need to understand that. Like, just put yourself in the position of you're with a new company, you see the old company, and it can be awkward, and you don't want to put too much on anything to upset your new coworkers or your old ones. And I just think that I'm a big believer in less is more. And I think the way Clay has handled this leading into it is probably the best for him. It's probably the best for his new situation and teammates. And I think people are looking to be triggered just in general by the internet, Bonte, and maybe maybe the internet, or maybe it's the world as a whole. Maybe that's just where we're at now. But I actually think it's the appropriate tack to take is, you know, keep yourself guarded.
I did hear Chris of San Jose on the way in, listening to Spadoni. And Chris of San Jose started his call by saying, you know, we love you, Clay. We're going to support you. And then he just drops a sledgehammer on him and just crushes him. Crushes him. You're not a good defender. You can't do anything off the dribble. You can't do this and that. And I think the last 2 years, it's been a roller coaster for Clay. It's been a roller coaster for the Warriors. And Clay wears the brunt of the blame for whatever reason. I don't know why we point the finger all at Clay Thompson, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't think he's going to be bothered by that. But it has skewed how Klay Thompson's career went down. This guy, instead of like, we don't appreciate anything. We talk about this all the time, Shasky, about sports radio. It's hard for people to appreciate wins, appreciate greatness. We just want to wait for negativity. Like if the Niners lose that game against Tampa Bay yesterday, it would have been fire Shanahan. Purdy's not the guy all over again, like a broken record. Same thing with the Warriors when it came to Klay Thompson. He had a bad game. Oh, man, you got to move him to the bench. You got to move off of him. You got to trade him. He has a good month, and nobody calls about it. Nobody says anything. It's nothing but crickets. And I say all that to say we should appreciate what Klay Thompson did pre-injuries. This guy was at the top of his game as a two-way player, defending. And think about what he did, helped Steph do, and what he did for Steph's career. Sacrificing offense to defend guys like Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Kyrie Irving, the cream of the crop when it came to wing players in the Western Conference. And, oh, if you want to switch, I could D up Kevin Love in the post. I could help with my lower body strength and defend in the post and box some dudes out. Klay Thompson did it. He did everything. And unfortunately, the last two and a half years, it felt like the fans just kind of forgot him. I know fans don't forget about it. They're going to remember everything. We'll talk about our family members. But it's clouded a lot of what he's done and what he's accomplished. And that's the part that kind of bothers me.
Well, it's hard to stomach. Klay Thompson. You know, I hear you. And, like, I think about, like, they don't get past various versions of Houston without him and his on-ball defense on James Harden in very crucial situations. There's people are going to take this as Steph slander. I personally do not believe Steph Curry becomes this version of Steph Curry maturation wise without playing alongside Klay Thompson. And I mean more defensively than I mean offensively. And I think it's a kudos to the two of them. But the emotion of the last few years has clouded the judgment and the logic and the practicality of a lot of people. And I think as time goes on, all of the negative stuff will dissipate and time will heal the wounds and people will start to be a little more pragmatic about it. And they'll say to themselves, this is one of the greatest Golden State Warriors of all time.
I know.
The couple of down years or whatever you want to call them and file them as will be long forgotten. They just will. Like, for example, I bring up Jeff Kent. There was a point in time Jeff Kent was enemy number one.
Yep. For a long time.
T.O. was enemy number one for a lot of Niner fans. Mm-hmm. And I think as time has gone on, we're about 20 years removed from both those situations. Those guys are beloved. Neither had the unanimous approval from the fan base in the same way that Klay Thompson did.
Nope.
Neither had the accolades and the team accomplishments of Klay Thompson. And so I think it's just going to be a matter of time for some people. And there's always going to be a hater. I mean,
that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. It is what it is. I mean, and look, it's kind of like the San Fran Frisco conversation. I've kind of stopped fighting that fight when it came to San Fran Frisco, Carter Fogg.
I'm just done. I'm not going
to
quit it.
Yeah, I don't have the time and energy to try to sway people anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm not a politician. So I'm just like, look, you want to call a San Fran? I just know you're not from here. So that's what it is. And then if I'm in the conversation with you, I'll educate you and say, we don't really say San Fran. But with that, it's the same thing with Clay. Like, I just don't even fight the fight no more. He's an all-time warrior. He had a solid last 2 years considering what he went through and considering the up and down nature of the roster. I mean, the entire roster – we don't have to go through this again. We know it went down last year with the roster the year season before. But I'm not going to fight that fight anymore on Klay Thompson. I refuse to try to sway people about, you know, because I walked into the Bruce Mahoney game. Fan walked up to me. He's like, boy, replacing Klay was the best thing ever, man. We remove him and da-da-da-da-da. I was like, that's it? Just Klay?
Monte, I've learned a long time ago, people are all talk. I'll never forget, I walked into a Boston Red Sox stadium that Dan Shaughnessy wrote an article on a Friday morning. Boston Red Sox fans should stand up and turn their backs to Barry Bonds. Oh, steroids, steroids for Barry Bonds. You know what happened? He stepped into that batter's box and all the smack talk. You know what? This is the Red Sox fans, not Giants fans. Their jaw was dropped and they were giving him a standing ovation because they were marveling at one of the greatest players who ever played the game. So I think online, from afar, people talk big, but in reality, I think the majority of like-minded people are going to stand up and give a universal applause to one of the beloved legends of all time, Klay Thompson.
That happened at Chase Center. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And I'm not going to focus on the people who are overly critical or think he's this or that because the internet says this and the internet says that. I can care less about that. But it will be fun to talk about Klay Thompson all day long. 888-957-9570. What's your favorite memory? What's the thing you miss most about Klay Thompson as a member of the Golden State Warriors? I know there's some jokes coming in after that one, but 888-957-9570. What does Klay know more for? Is it Rocco? Is it his three-point shooting? Is it the 37 and a quarter? Is it 60 on 11 dribbles? Is it game six against Houston? Is it game six against OKC? Let's discuss it, man. Klay Thompson is back in the Bay.